And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. So I don't even know where to begin with some of this content I've got for this next section. Activist shareholders. Let's talk about this. So you all have heard about ESG, right? Environmental Social Governance. ESG. It's just, and I'm pleased to report, and I'll talk about it in more detail in a minute. The Alabama State Legislature just recently passed a bill sponsored by someone who I think the world of, State Senator Dan Roberts, passed a bill, and it's sent to the governor. We're waiting on the governor to sign it. That's an anti-ESG bill for Alabama. We're one of the states now, assuming she signs it, which she better, that is not going to be allowing ESG to infiltrate state contracts, state retirement plans, that kind of thing. But environmental social governance, if you haven't been keeping up, then let me just quickly run down that. Environmental social governance, what this basically means is, hey, here's a great idea. Let's have corporations whose job it is to make widgets or provide services and make a profit for their shareholders. Let's tell them that profit making is no longer the issue. Pray tell, what do you mean? You got to do something, you know, for the Green New Deal. That's environment. All right, you got to do something for the LGBTQ2IA plus acronym movement. That's social. Or you got to do something to oppose, like, you know, voter ID or something in the legislative processes of a state. That's governance. So ESG, environmental social governance, basically it's woke policies. You're trying to say that a corporation whose job it is to make a profit by making the best widgets or providing the best services, that corporation is no longer about that, number one. That corporation is now really about being a good stakeholder in the world. Okay. What happens when you do stuff like, oh, I don't know, ESG influences Bud Light putting Dylan Mulvaney, the trans activist, on their beer can, and their sales are now down 22%, and the shareholders are thinking about a lawsuit. Why? Because they just lost their profit. Because a ridiculous decision not related to the idea of promoting good beer just took their profits in the tank. How about Target? Target, as of last Friday, has lost $12.7 billion, that's with a B, above a billion, $12.7 billion in market share. In other words, their stock has plummeted. $12.7 billion in market share value. What in the world? Why would that be? Maybe because they got so involved in trying to be woke that they forgot what they were there for, which is to be the best at selling what people want and providing it in a way that will draw customers in so they can make a profit for their shareholders. Okay. All right. And I got to tell you, I am so glad that the Alabama legislature has done what it's done. But we're going to take a break here in a moment. When we get back, I'm going to start off by telling you, hey, here's what the new bill is. Here's what it does. Here's some things that stores are doing that make that new bill a really good idea. But then on top of that, we're going to flip the script. What happens when you have shareholders, people who buy stock, who buy up stock for the sole purpose of trying to get in there and make the company go woke at stock shareholder meetings? Really? I kid you not. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I'm talking about, I mean, we go way down south of Birmingham, way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, let me just take a moment here and tell you, our friends at the Elm Foundation, we had them on the show just last week, had an amazing show with them right here in studio. The Elm Foundation, ELM, it stands for Expect Little Miracles. This is an amazing group, a 501c3 based out of Huntsville. And man, they are doing the business of helping people get their lives back. And they are doing things like helping folks get off the streets. And they're doing it in such a way, it's not like the government throwing money at something. They're actually walking people through a program, giving them opportunities for education, for job skills training, for even housing, you know, providing them what they need once they've agreed to enter into the program, and then giving them the accountability and the milestones they have to meet to stay on it. So yeah, the Elm Foundation, doing amazing stuff. I wish you'd check them out. Their website is Elm HSV, as in ELMHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio if you talk to them too. All right. Hey, listen, I gotta jump over here and I think maybe one of my favorite texts for the week. I mean, I'm gonna go predict it's one of my favorite texts for the week.
All right, already.
Kevin,
I like it.
Kevin from Selligent.
Okay.
Kevin from Selligent says, "This is why I love Right Side Radio. You just quoted the Bible and Larry the Cable Guy in the same sentence. Love
yes.
it.
Yes. That is great.
That's right. Awesome. Well, listen, I'm in number two of the triple dipper now, all right? Activist shareholders. What am I talking about? Well, first of all, everybody's heard about ESG. I talked about that right before the break, right? Do know this. There has been one of those moments you look at and go, good on them, all right? I get excited when I find out that the legislature does something conservative. I'm proud to say that Senate Bill 261, sponsored by Mountain Brook's State Senator Dan Roberts, that it's a bill that prohibits state contracts with businesses that are trying to boycott certain sectors of our own economy through ESG. All right? It passed. It passed the Senate. It went down to the House. It passed the House last week. It's waiting on the governor to sign it. She'd better sign it. The bottom line is this. If a company's values do not align with certain topics in the bill, it can't do business with any local or state government in Alabama. And this is not like being punitive. This is just saying, hey, You cannot look at us and say, well, since you have automotive manufacturing in this state that is not building electric vehicles, then we're gonna use ESG policies to disinvest from those companies. Well, how about they help our economy, so we're not gonna work with you then. If you're one of those that says, well, we're going to have to disinvest from anything to do with offshore drilling. Well, the state of Alabama makes a great deal of money from offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Oil and gas leases fund our state rainy day fund to the tune of like $35 to $45 million a year. So anyway, Senate Bill 261 passed. The bill specifically refuses to deal with, terminates business activities with, and otherwise take any commercial action that is intended to penalize, inflict economic harm on, or limit commercial. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. They're trying to hurt the state. We can't do business with them. That being said, why do we care? Well, it's amazing what's happening. It's amazing what's happening right now in various companies. Target's got a target on its back right now. Let's put it that way. Target has got self-inflicted wounds just bleeding out everywhere. Just Target is one sucking chest wound after another. Just unbelievable. I mean, how do they continue to move forward? But lost $12.7 billion in market share last week. Story on Fox News dated yet today. Target backs an organization that urges U.S.'s demilitarization and that Mount Rushmore should be shut down because it's a symbol of white supremacy. Kid you not. So here's the deal. As ESG is rampant through companies like Target, and as they step up their DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion work, they find themselves constantly getting sucked in to things that sound really good. What are we going to do? We got to get our woke index up. make sure our ESG score is strong. How do we do this? Woo, I don't know. How about we fund an organization like the NDN Collective? NDN, as in November, Delta November. NDN Collective. The Target Foundation's webpage says that it funded the NDN Collective, a South Dakota-based nonprofit, with a revenue stream that has reached as high as $50 million. What could we do with Right Side Radio with $50 million?
Well,
take over the world is what we
can
do.
Yes, we would. Wow.
Golly, bum.
$50 million.
Anyway, NDN Collective operates with a racial equity lens, dedicated to building indigenous power through organizing activism, philanthropy, and grant making. And that includes things like, oh, I don't know, shutting down Mount Rushmore because it's a symbol of white supremacy. Huh. And colonization. Huh. How about this? Here's their quote. They maintain a view on the military, the U.S. military, that the U.S. military is in the explicit business of taking land away from communities all around the world, using their presence on their land to carry out their own agenda for the inhabitants of that area. Violence is fundamental for the U.S. to maintain its presence, and the military is how they establish dominance. Actually, yes. That is how you establish dominance. But it's not like we're a colonial dominance. Fox News Digital asked Target how they can proclaim to support veterans in their corporate announcements while also funding an anti-military organization, but they did not immediately receive a response. All right, all this to say, that's the kind of crap that goes on right now in various corporations around the nation. I mean, you've got like Bud Light is tanking, I said a while ago. Here's an article by Fox, came out today also, that Bud Light salespeople who work on commission are losing their income right now. They drive Bud Light trucks down the road, and they got people flipping them off and honking the horns and yelling at them. The kid, it's right here in the story in front of me. So all that to say, what happens when the boardroom goes woke? Well, you're seeing it. You're seeing it right now in what's happening with Target, what's happening with Bud Light. But then here's the deal. There's a new trend out right now of people buying up shares, or at least buying up proxy votes, and going to the shareholders' meetings in an effort to drive the company in a different direction. Things like, I mean, if you buy up the shares, you'd think you'd care what the return on the investment would be, right? So certainly there's going to be some of those that believe a corporation is heading in the wrong direction. They buy low, they come in, and they push for a different direction of the company, and they hope to reap the benefits of seeing the stock go up. But what we're also seeing is right now what Market Business News calls an activist investor or an activist shareholder whose sole aim is to apply pressure on the company's management. Really? Yeah. So this is where you've got to have good leadership, and then you've got to also recognize what's happening. And if you're a shareholder in a company and they have a shareholder meeting, you might want to go to the meeting because there may be somebody there presenting a resolution that once it's adopted could wind up in some way being binding upon the boardroom to have to make decisions you never would have wanted them to make. I mean, it points out that there are conservatives who have worked this way, but there are also, by the way, a rising tide of liberals who are, in the words of the Wall Street Journal out 3 days ago, dragging companies into the U.S. culture war through shareholder activism. This is an amazing thing to me. I mean, I never would have thought, hey, let's spend some money. I mean, to me, if you're going to spend money, invest in Right Side Radio, and we'll talk the piece for you. But no, we're going to take our $1 million, and we're going to go buy up shares in a, you know, Corporation X, and we're going to drive them to the left. And then watch the whole thing tank. Says businesses, Wall Street Journal says, businesses face proposals on abortion, guns, and climate change as groups with various viewpoints strive to get their agendas heard at this year's annual meetings. A backlash against companies taking on issues ranging from climate change to abortion rights is helping push shareholder proposals to record numbers this year. So what you're seeing is some folks are going into the boardrooms and are going, stop the madness. Get us out of the ESG. We've been with you since the beginning. We're shareholders. We're the people you're supposed to be working for right now. But what we're also seeing, though, is in the past year, with relation to things like ESG, there have been 682 shareholder proposals filed by groups that are buying up shares to do nothing but go in and try to change the company's direction. One group called itself As You Sow. They're based out of California. Go figure. So they want to promote environmental and social corporate responsibility through shareholder advocacy. Well, I got news. When you do that, what do? You ruin the potential of the company to make a profit. I mean, is it just so wrong for us to look at this and go, hey, Disney, please entertain us. Hey, Target, sell me some quality products with a staff that actually treats me nice when I come in the store. Bud Light, just make some beer, please. Just make beer. I mean, is it too much to ask for Nike to just get back to making sports equipment? Just asking. You know, and speaking of which, Nike is the company that used to have the Bo Jackson ads. And, you know, Michael Jordan. And I watched the movie the other night, Charlene and I did. Have you seen that movie yet? Air. Have you seen it?
Yeah. I saw it.
It was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
Yeah. The idea of building the first Nike Air Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing all that, and it was like they were a good company, but they were not in the basketball arena. You saw it,
yeah,
and they were sucking wind behind Adidas, and what was the other one they were behind?
It was Converse and Adidas.
Converse and Adidas, and Nike comes in, and they said that they would build a shoe around the man as opposed to getting the man to sponsor the shoe.
Right.
And so we gone from the time of Michael Jordan and Bo Jackson promoting the products to. Now we've got Dylan Mulvaney dancing around in a sports bra pretending he's a girl. Mm. Just get back to sports equipment with athletes that really look like athletes. I'm just saying. Is that too much to ask? Nope. I don't think it's too much to ask. But then again, I'm just plain right. All right, hey, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back and keep this mode going. Coming up top of the hour, Andrew Ford, president of ZLA Solutions, will be with us here in studio talking about stuff like doing business in Alabama. How's that going? All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, coming up in a few minutes, top of the hour, we'll be switching gears, moving to number three on the Triple Dipper, doing biz in Alabama. Yeah, so doing some biz in Bama, we're going to have Andrew Ford, president of ZLA Solutions on. I might as well just tell you about him now. So ZLA Solutions, if you're not familiar, they've been with us since this show started, and they are epic good at what they do. So at ZLA Solutions, they do all kinds of business end solutions. They can help you with your sorting and containment, your quality control, your logistics, your warehousing, but their bread and butter remains staffing. So if you need people, I'm just saying, if you need people, it can be onesies and twosies with special niche skills that are hard to find, or it can be a whole shift of folks for an automotive manufacturing plant or a hospital or whatever the case may be, ZLA Solutions, they can find you the people. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing. I always say blue collar, white collar, no collar. It don't matter. ZLA Solutions can find the people you need. So, yeah, check them out. Their website is ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com, ZLA Solutions. And do me a favor. These are friends of mine. I know them personally. Andrew Ford will be here in just a minute in studio. If you talk to him, tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate it. So we're talking about this new trend right now towards shareholder activism. And I will say it is not always on the left, all right? There are times when it's on the right. I'm just wondering how long it's going to be till Target's shareholders or Bud Light's or Anheuser-Busch's, shareholders get a hold of them at the next meeting and say, what in God's name are you doing? At some point, they're going to have to. Last story I got for you, I pulled this off of LexisNexis, which is unusual that I didn't realize they did news sites. I use them for legal research quite often. But they've got a piece here dated 3 days ago. Says ESG due diligence is no longer optional. Shareholder activism accelerates as major banks face investor calls for climate action. Says in the last month, some of the world's biggest banks have faced votes from investors to improve their ESG and climate records. This is just the latest evidence that a growing proportion of shareholders, employees, and consumers want to invest in, work for, and buy from companies that demonstrate a positive ethical impact on the world. Apparently, LexisNexis is all in on ESG. Anyway, they do point out, though, that if you don't do the due diligence, you don't know what you're going to get at the next shareholder meeting. And they go back and forth here. It says 30% of voting shareholders in Goldman Sachs recently went against the recommendation of the company's board to support a resolution calling for a climate risk transition plan. In other words, they said, no, we don't appreciate it. We don't want to do it. 31% of shareholders at Wells Fargo recently called for the bank to put in place a climate transition plan. Okay. 5% of shareholders at Bank of America went against the board's advice to vote for a climate transition plan. Okay. 31% voted for Citigroup to stop funding a company involved in an oil pipeline between the U.S. and Canada. So, first of all, I'm pretty sure that the thing to do is to try first to be a profitable venture. If you're going to be a corporation in America, if you've got people that have trusted you by investing in you, here's an idea. Go be the best you can be at it. That does not mean, by the way, getting out there and going, how can we tank our stock by going woke? So far what we're seeing is that companies that have done that, sometimes they get away with it, but by and large lately, there's a sort of a fed-up constituency that is saying, you know what, we've had enough. This has got to stop. And it gets to the point, and I'll tell you what gets it, what's really flipped the script is that the left has totally lost their minds and decided they can go for our kids. And when Disney decided they would rather stand up for the sexualization of small children, they saw their tank stock in Florida, and they lost that battle. And when you've got transgender activism on the Bud Light beer can, they're tank stocked, and people stopped buying their product. And when Target decided to put tuck-friendly swimsuits in the children's section for Pride Month at all their stores nationwide, guess what? They're tank stocked and their sales dropped. And I'm just, folks, I believe that the left has maybe overplayed their hand on this. Don't let up. Don't let up. Don't for a second let up. Don't look at it and go, well, but I do like the housewares at Target. Friggin' go to Walmart or order it online. I'm not prone to calling for boycotts or anything, but I'm just saying, if they stop feeling the heat, they won't change their behavior. They won't. They'll decide that it was worth the risk. It only lasted for a month. And then they'll go ahead and say, what are we going to do next year? And they'll get another, you know, line of products out there that offends everyone's sensibilities and who knows what. I mean, if the LA Dodgers is going to do honor to a group that mocks the Catholic Church openly and in the most vile and vulgar ways, they do. I'd tell you to check them out, but I don't want you to. But they do. They mock the Catholic Church in vile and vulgar ways, call themselves the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. If the LA Dodgers are going to honor that, here's an idea. Stop buying Dodgers tickets. If we just wait till, well, we'll wait till Pride Month's over and then we'll go back. They're never going to hear from you. They're never going to make a change. It's where we are right now. Shareholder activism, it's a thing. If you own shares in the company, you might want to pay attention to what resolutions are coming before the shareholder meetings. If they ask you to vote proxy, you might want to consider not giving your proxy to someone unless they guarantee they're going to vote the way you want them to. Shareholder activism, it's a thing. All right, coming up next, Andrew Ford, ZLA Solutions, talking about doing biz in Bama. We'll be right back.